Okay, well, let's turn to 1 Samuel 18. Okay, and we'll read verse 2 and 3. And Saul took, so we're in 1 Samuel 18, verses 2 and 3. And Saul took him, David, that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And in verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because they were very close to each other, as tight as a brother. Okay. And let's see. Let's skip down to 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So David gained favor with all of Israel and even with Saul's servants and household. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with timbrels, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, say that it would have chorus back one to another, the women choirs, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands. Now, if you're one man and you've slain a thousands of the Lord's enemies, that's pretty good. I mean, that's, you know, if you're slaying the Lord's enemies and you've done thousands, that's a mighty feat, isn't it? What did they say? What did they sing about David? Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So what happened in Saul's heart? He became jealous and envious, and he became angry. And verse 8, and Saul was very wroth or angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass, verse 10, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, on his harp. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will kill David even to the, I will smite or pin David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David and was departed from Saul. God was departed from Saul because Saul was departed from him. If Saul had repented, then God was close. God is close to each one of us, and will always accept us when we turn and repent. For 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he would have done that for King Saul as well. So David went from great favor in Saul to being the hated one. And there's a verse that said Saul continually grew in his hatred of David. And so what did Saul do to David? David ran. He fled, right? And he went to the priests, and the priest gave him the holy bread that was there, that was about to be changed. They were going to get new bread every week. And the priest did give David the holy bread. And then later, what did Saul do? He came to the priest and had, like, I think it was 83 of the priest's family executed. So Saul was not in a good, he was evil. I mean, he was just not following God. He was an evil man at this point. And he would chase David wherever he went. And every now and then, the Israelites would tell King Saul, David is here. David is there. David's out in the wilderness of Ziph, or David's out in Beth Avon. And so Saul would go looking for him. So then we come to the story where David and his men are in the cave of Adullam, and they're hiding in the cave from Saul and his men. And who should come into the cave next? Saul came into the cave, not knowing that David was there, and David and his men were pressed against the walls of this dark cave. And this story is in Samuel 24:3-12. So anyway, Saul came in to relieve himself, and David and his men knew that he was there, and his men urged him, kill Saul. Kill Saul. This is your chance. And David, you know, I guess they were whispering ultra quietly, but, or motioning, because Saul didn't know they were there. So anyway, David slipped up because Saul was stooping down and had a robe. So David was able to cut a little swath of cloth off of King Saul's robe. And when Saul was finished, he went out of the cave. And I suppose David let him go maybe 100 yards. And then David went out of the cave and said, King Saul, why are you listening to those who tell you evil things about me? Why are you listening to people who tell you that I want to hurt you? Do you recognize this piece of cloth? And King Saul recognized it as part of his robe. And David said, I could have killed you. But I took a piece of cloth of you. I could have killed you. And Saul, it says Saul broke down and cried. And we read that in 1 Samuel 24. Verses 17 to 18. And Saul said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed me this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. Does this look like a man after God's own heart? We read in Luke 6:35 that God is kind to the unkind. God is kind to the evil and the wicked. And Matthew 5 says that God sends his rain on the just and the unjust, and sends the sun on the just and the unjust. So here we truly do see how David is a man after God's own heart. Okay, well, Isaac, do you think Saul stopped chasing David after that? Some time passed, and then they told Saul, David is out here, and Saul took 3,000 men and went chasing after him again. So that story is in 1 Samuel 26. Now this time, David and his men are up on a hill, and King Saul and his 3,000 men and his general, Abner, are camped down below, and they're all asleep. King Saul, Abner, his whole army is asleep. What does David do this time? He goes there and gets his spear and his water jug that was right by King Saul. And it says they did not wake because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. So according to the Bible story, God put them into a deep sleep. So then in the morning, David shouts out to Abner, the general, and says, "Abner, what a terrible job you are doing. Shouldn't you be taking care of the Lord's anointed, King Saul?" And David would always say, "No, I'm not going to kill Saul because he is the Lord's anointed. The Lord may avenge Saul for me, but I am not going to raise my hand against Saul." And so now he's taunting General Abner, saying, "You are not doing a good job. You deserve death because you are not protecting King Saul, the Lord's anointed." Do you recognize this spear? And do you recognize this water bottle? And then David says, "Send one of the young men to come fetch it, and you can have it back." And what is Saul's answer this time? Saul's reply now is, quote, from the King James, "I have played the fool, and I have erred exceedingly." So Saul admits his wrong again. Okay, sometime not long after this, the Philistines are again gathering all their armies to attack Saul. And Saul, even though he had gotten rid of all the witches, according to God's commandment, to rid the land of any sorcerers, Chaldeans, witches, etc., anyone who consorts to consult evil spirits, Saul had correctly gotten rid of him. But now he consults a witch, and Satan tells him through the witch, "You're not going to survive." And of course, Satan has a bunch of Philistines to make sure that comes to pass, that Saul does not survive. And so Saul sinks into deep despair, but he has to go out and lead the armies the next day anyway, which he does. And they fight, and he's mortally wounded, and he asks his armor bearer to go ahead and kill him so that he is not tortured by the Philistines. And the armor bearer likewise will not kill the Lord's anointed. So Saul, as the story goes in 1 Samuel 31, Saul falls on his own sword. Now, is David happy about this? Is David happy that Saul is dead and all his sons? No, he is not. But two men come to David and claim to have killed Saul, thinking that David will reward them. And instead, David believes them that they killed him, Saul, but David is not pleased, and he says, "You've killed the Lord's anointed." So he has those two actually executed. So David was kind and respectful of Saul, and wanted justice done throughout the land. And David wanted all of Israel to know that even unto the end, David did not try to take the kingdom of Israel, even though the Lord had anointed David to succeed Saul. So David just took his time. So then it says, after Saul and his two sons, all and his sons were dead, David reigned 2 years in Judah, and he really did not try to gain the allegiance of the other 10 tribes. And there was one son of Saul left. His name was Ish-bosheth. And so Ish-bosheth reigned over the other 10 kingdoms for those 2 years. And then two men came and killed Ish-bosheth on his bed. And then they came to David and were bragging that they had killed Ish-bosheth. And what did David do this time? He said, "You thought I would be pleased? No, I am not pleased. You killed an innocent person on his bed." And so he had those two executed as well. And so then all of Israel saw that David was a righteous, a just king, and David became king over all of Israel, not just Judah. And it turned out that Mephibosheth, when the Philistines were about to overcome Israel, Saul and everyone, that it says the nurse, in 2 Samuel 4:4, it says the nurse dropped 5-year-old Mephibosheth. You know, the nurse took up Mephibosheth and was fleeing and dropped him. So Mephibosheth, the 5-year-old son of Jonathan, was lame. He was crippled because, there were no orthopedists, no one set his ankles, so he was lame as he grew up, crippled, and couldn't walk on his own. So anyway, 2 Samuel 9, David is wondering, is there anyone left of the family of Saul? Is there anyone that remains of the family of Saul? I want to show them kindness. So Isaac, what happens now? Do you know what happens to Mephibosheth? David wonders, is there anyone left of Saul's family? He says, okay, so he learns of Mephibosheth, and he says, okay, bring Mephibosheth here. Bring Mephibosheth here. So now we go to 2 Samuel 9. 2 Samuel 9. Now, does anyone know, was Mephibosheth eager to come to David, or was he fearful? Fearful. And why would he be fearful? Someone told him that David was a bad man and mean to Saul's family. Was there any evidence to that so far? All the evidence was to the contrary, that David was very respectful of Saul's family. Okay, let's see. 2 Samuel 9. Oh, I'm in 1 Samuel there. So they carry Mephibosheth to David. Okay, 2 Samuel 9, verse 5. Then King David sent and had Ziba, Saul's servant, fetch Mephibosheth out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel and Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. That's verse 6. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto them, "Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And Mephibosheth bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto your master's son all that pertains to Saul and to all his house. And therefore you and your sons, Ziba, shall till the land for Mephibosheth, and shall bring in the fruits that your master may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth shall eat at my table all the days of his life. So, so it is true, as Gaitha said, Mephibosheth was very fearful. And why? Because people had been telling Mephibosheth lies about David. And we know this from the Bible. There was a Shimei who came out when David was, when Absalom was rebelling against David. Shimei came out and cursed David continually, saying, "Oh, you were mean to Saul's house and all his kindred," which was not true. And then also Ziba, the one we see here that was given charge over all that Mephibosheth owned, for David had restored to Mephibosheth everything that Saul had. When David was fleeing from Ziba, when David was fleeing from Absalom, Ziba came out with a bunch of food for David, and David asked, "Well, where's Mephibosheth?" And Ziba said, "Oh, he thinks the kingdom is going to be restored to him. So he's just staying there, and he didn't come out with me." Well, sometime later, when after Absalom is dealt with, Mephibosheth has someone take him to David, and David asks Mephibosheth, "Why didn't you come with me when I was in trouble?" And Mephibosheth said, "My servant Ziba told you a lie, and Ziba told me he was preparing the donkey so that we could go with you, but instead Ziba took off without me." And so we see here evidence that Ziba slandered Mephibosheth, and Shimei told Mephibosheth lies about David. So this is what happens between us and God. People are telling us, people are telling the world, or beings are telling the world lies about God. God is kind to the unkind. God is merciful to the unmerciful. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're told in 2 Corinthians 4:6, that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of humans. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Okay. But if our gospel, the gospel that Jesus died and lives for us, if this gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are perishing, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So David, who repaid evil with good. This is exactly what God does. 2 Corinthians 5:19-21. To understand that God the Father was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed unto us this word of reconciliation. Now then, we become God's ambassadors, as though God beseeches you through us, be reconciled to God, because God has reconciled himself to you. For God has made Christ, him, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. He did not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So actually we see the story of God and his dealings with us in the story of David and Mephibosheth. People told Mephibosheth lies about David. Satan and all his agents, people, TV, books, tell us lies about God. And Jesus says, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, for who you really are, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So I pray that each one of us may look at Jesus each day, read the story of Jesus, that we may daily remind ourselves of the goodness of God and continually be growing in his salvation.